In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
We're so thankful that you've joined us today for the Word for Life radio ministry of the Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, and Pastor Jill Helm and I have been talking about how to know the will of God and what will happen once you know it and decide that's for me. And just basically submit and surrender and begin to understand the total joy of being in the will of God. And Pastor Joe, we've been talking about this now for several broadcasts, and I think we're going to be finishing up on this one, but just kind of share with us your closing thoughts, if you will.
Well, again, Paul prays for the Colossian believers in chapter 1 that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will. He understood how critically important it was that new believers, and these were new believers, he had just heard of their faith and their love for Christ and others, and he was communicating to them that the overwhelming burden of his heart now was to pray for them that they would be filled with, overwhelmed with, and recognize the will of God for their lives. And of course, we went into detail and talked about how the will of God is so very objective in the Scripture. The Scripture is full of the will of God. From cover to cover, it's the will of God. And all you have to do is read it, and it tells you how to think, how to feel, how to live as a believer in Christ. And we talked that, first of all, it's totally clear from the Scripture that it's the will of God that you be saved.
Right.
That you come to know Christ and believe in Christ. We know it's the will of God that you be Spirit-filled once you are saved. That you submit yourself to the renewing, transforming power of the Word of God through the Spirit of God, and you live your life in such a way that you are demonstrating that that transformation has and is taking place. And so be saved, be Spirit-filled. Thirdly, be sanctified. That is, be set apart from this world. Be pure, be undefiled, be blameless. And the Scripture gives us many, many, many truths about that. We talked about them last time.
Right.
Specifically, some of them are sexual sin. Get away from it. Get it out of your life. Get it out of your mind. And in particular here, we need to be soberly aware of the huge problem today with pornography and men, even men in the church.
Exactly.
It's a devastating problem because they're allowing their minds to be transformed instead of by the will of God, instead of by the truth of God, instead of by righteousness and holiness, they're allowing their minds to be transformed by filth.
Mm-hmm.
And what God says, stay away from.
Right.
Your vessel is God's now, and you're not to be dishonoring it with any type of sexual impurity, whether it's physical or mental, etc. And we're told, of course, don't act like the pagans. Such were some of you, but now you've been cleansed. Now you've been justified. You are now in the kingdom of light, no longer in the kingdom of darkness. You shouldn't be living in the dark, but you ought to be living in the light. So in other words, be saved, be Spirit-filled, be sanctified. Clearly the will of God. Number four, be submissive.
Mm-hmm.
It's the will of God that we demonstrate the submissive heart and spirit of Christ. And you do that not to be a doormat. You do that to demonstrate faith and confidence and courage and hope in God, who's the provident ruler of the universe.
Who never makes mistakes.
Yeah, that's where your confidence lies.
Mm-hmm.
1 Peter 2:13, we're to be obedient to authorities in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 13, we're to be obedient to the government. Ephesians 5, we're to be obedient and submit to one another in a marriage relationship, in a family relationship, in an employment relationship. And so it's very, very clear from the Scripture. Be saved, be Spirit-filled, be sanctified, be submissive.
Right.
Have a humble, meek, Christ-like spirit. In fact, the word meek is not the idea of a doormat. The word meek means power, but under control.
So it's not weak.
No, meek is strength.
Yes.
But it's strength under control, which is even stronger.
Mm-hmm.
It takes more strength to be power under control.
Right.
Number five is to be suffering. You know, we're told, and I've mentioned this to my children many, many times, that ease and convenience and, so to speak, good times usually result in very little, if any, spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you're in trial and difficulty and in the fires of testing and trouble, that's when God grows you.
Right.
And so, you know, we could go to 1 Peter 3, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. There's a lot in 1 Peter about suffering. It's one of the very purposes he wrote that book to those that were scattered abroad by the persecution in Jerusalem, and talking to them about how trial is refining.
Right.
And that one day they're going to come forth as gold, and that they should endure, therefore, suffering. And Paul talks about enduring hardship in 1 Timothy to Timothy as a young pastor. He's encouraging Timothy to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And so there's so much in the scripture that's so encouraging for those that are suffering.
But many times, Pastor Joe, when we're suffering, we cry out to God and we begin to ask him why. And many times God is just quiet during these times. My wife came across a statement a few weeks back that made so much sense. The statement was this: you know, when students are going through a test, the teacher is always quiet.
That is excellent.
Isn't that amazing?
I love that.
When the students are going through a test, the teacher is always quiet. It's after we get through the test that the teacher pulls us aside and reviews the tests and how we did and, you know, what we got right and where we kind of showed up our weaknesses. But so many times we expect God to be hollering at us from the sidelines, but God often is simply saying, no, no, this is your test.
Yeah, that's excellent. You know, it's God's will that you be saved.
Mm-hmm.
It's God's will that you be spirit-filled. It's God's will that you be sanctified. It's God's will that you be submissive. It's God's will that you suffer. It's also God's will that you say thanks.
Mm.
1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. It tells you, you need to be grateful. You need to be thankful.
Maybe not for everything, but in everything.
That's right.
Because God's in control.
Yeah. Amen. You know, Psalm 34:6 says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Another one of those things that I've often counseled my kids in is that that doesn't mean you can desire anything you want and God's going to give it to you. If your heart longs to please the Lord and honor him, he is going to give you desires that will then be the delight of your life. So be saved, be spirit-filled, be sanctified, be submissive, be suffering, be saying thanks, and then be serving.
I knew that was coming.
It's the Lord's will.
It is, obviously.
It is the command of God in the scripture that you serve him. It's as simple as that.
Right.
The choice isn't whether you're going to do it or not. The choice is, when are you going to get off your backside and start? And really, I'm not ever accused of being ambiguous. I'm very blunt, and that's it. You just got to get going. You got to get doing it, because it's the will of God for every believer that you be serving him. And then lastly, it's his will that you be a steward. The word steward actually comes from a compound Greek word that means house manager. And what that basically tells us is that we're a manager in the household of God. And we are to be managing according to the wishes, the requirements, the desires, and the program and the truth and the plan of that owner of the household, which is God. And so that's why it's also so utterly very important that we learn his will. Otherwise, we're not going to know how to manage.
Exactly.
We're not going to know how to please him and be a steward. Listen, every single person listening to the sound of my voice who has ever had a job knows what it takes to please the boss. You have to know the boss. You have to get to know what the boss wants, likes, demands, requires, what the boss's business is. And then number two, you simply have to do it.
Right.
And you do it in a way that pleases the boss, that profits the boss, and that promotes the boss, you know, for his reputation and his advancement and his glory. And all you do is you take that over and you put it over into the realm of God and his kingdom. Come to know God, mind, heart, and soul. You come to know God, and then you do what he wants you to do in a way that honors him and pleases him. I've heard it said before, if you have a hard time remembering this sometime, it's head, heart, and hands. With the head, the mind, you have to be renewed with the truth.
Right.
With the heart, you believe and you give yourself to it wholeheartedly. And then with the hands that represent your will, you do it. You obey it. And so this is what it means to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is why Paul so desperately wanted to continue praying for the Colossian believers,
yes,
that they would be overwhelmed with recognizing the will of God, because it would allow them, Colossians 1 tells us now, that you would walk worthy in every pleasing endeavor. And that's it.
That was
the ultimate goal,
right,
of knowing the will of God,
right,
that you would walk in a way that's worthy, and that means pleasing God in everything you do.
And then it goes on to say, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
So after you're done, you're still
not done
learning more about God. Right, you're not done. I'm reminded in the early 80s, I was pastoring in South Georgia, and we had a farmer who had an opportunity to be a manager of a huge estate and thousands of acres, $1 million budget or so. And his son wanted him to use the tremendous amount of money that he had access to go out and buy a four-wheeler, you know. And so he said, well, Sean, why do we need a four-wheeler? Well, Dad, you know, we could just kind of ride around the farm and it'd be a lot of fun. And I think it would just really be neat. Besides, you've got all this money. And so the dad said, well, sure, I could do it. But at the end of the year, when the owner, whose money I'm managing, sits down with me and he looks at the purchase of a four-wheeler, he's going to ask me, and so how was this used in the success of my farm?
Yeah.
And the son looked at him and said, well, maybe we don't need to buy a four-wheeler.
And, smart,
you know,
boy.
Yeah, right. And, you know, one day we're going to stand before the Lord and he's going to ask us about accountability issues, isn't he?
Yeah, that's it. Because we're told in Scripture, again, one of the aspects of the will of God is that every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ,
right,
and we will give an account for the things done in the body, whether they be good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
But the words behind the English words good and bad there are the words profitable or worthless.
Unprofitable, wow.
Another illustration in Scripture would be, are they going to be gold, silver, precious stones that withstand the test of fire? Or are they going to be wood, hay, and stubble burning up in ashes at,
sure,
our feet,
right,
as we're ashamed?
Mm. Well, Pastor Joe, thank you so much for just bringing to a close that tremendous study on knowing, doing, and loving the will of God. Because when we do that, we will discover the beautiful metamorphosis that God does, just like the butterfly. And we can look back on what we used to be and be able to say, oh, there's no way. Just like the butterfly would look at that caterpillar and say, oh, there's just no way. God wants to bring about that kind of a change in our lives, and God can if we will allow him. Thank you so much for joining us. God give you just a fantastic day today.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.